Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. What he once did, he continues to do. Maybe there are times in our lives when we lack faith. We read in Scripture what it is that God has done, what Christ has done, and we think, oh, that was for then. God can move right now. The miracles of Jesus that he performed when he walked upon this earth, he still performs today. The title of my sermon tonight is Miracles of Jesus Moved with Compassion. And what I want us to consider is the profound theme of miracles. That Jesus, in every miracle that he performed, he was driven by compassion. The Gospels and the Book of Acts, they give us numerous accounts of miracles. And each one has a unique context. But what ties together the miracles of Jesus is his compassion for those that he encountered. The word compassion in Greek, it's a big word. Splagchinizomai. I'm sure you can all repeat that really quickly.
Splagchinizomai.
Close enough. It sounds like a tongue twister, but in the Greek, there is some deep meaning there. Because it means to be moved deeply in the innermost being. It describes something that's almost like a gut reaction. You ever had a gut reaction to something? Have you ever had something happen in your life where God has laid on your heart that there is only one course of action for you to follow? I know in my own life there have been times where I've responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And there's other times when God has literally had to hit me with a bat to get me to move to where he wants me to be. Even when we came to this church years ago, I'll be honest, the church that we went to, there was some issues that were there, and I was part of the leadership, and then my wife, my children, they just weren't comfortable there. And I thought to myself, where can I suggest that they go that they're not going to enjoy? And I sent them to Elim. And God had to do a work in my heart, change my heart, soften my heart, to make me realise that this is not just where he wanted my wife and children to be, but it's where he wanted me to be. And for the last number of years, I felt sorry for you lot having to put up with me. But God has brought me here for such a time as this. And maybe if I'd listened to what God was saying, I would have actually turned up here years ago when we first moved into the area. God does things in his time, and in his timing is perfect. And every miracle that Jesus wrought when he was on this planet was at the perfect time. The perfect answer to people's needs, the perfect healer for people's pain. And Jesus didn't just perform miracles for the sake of power being shown. He was moved by the love that he has for people. And he has that love for you and I today. Wherever we've been, whatever we've done, even before we knew him, when we were still his enemies, he loved us and destined us to be his children. In our time together this evening, I want us to explore how Christ's compassion prompts his miraculous work, how it continues to affect us today, how it challenges us to live with compassion for others in our own lives. Maybe we're not as compassionate as we should be. I received a physical piece of mail from the Evangelical Alliance this week, and within it were 8 inserts. And every single insert that was in that magazine was actually requesting my compassion for those that are in need. Whether it's someone who needs a Bible, or someone who needs fresh water, or whether it was just the need for the gospel to be proclaimed to a specific group of people. And I'll be honest, I think I've gone compassion blind, because the first thing I did when I opened this magazine was shake out all the inserts and ignore them. And if we're honest, that's probably a reaction that has happened from hundreds of people across the country. Because somewhere we think, oh, but I already support this, I can't support that, it's someone else's problem. Jesus never referred to something as someone else's problem. Jesus was always there for those that were in need, for those that cried out to him, for those who just reached out and touched the hem of his garment without expressing anything verbally. He was there for them. And he's still here for us today. First point I want to look at, compassionate miracle at Cana. In John chapter 4, which I would love to read the whole chapter right now, but we'll just dip into it. In chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, we read the account of Jesus healing the royal official's son. The official comes to Jesus and he's desperate. He's pleading for his son's life. And in John chapter 4, verse 50, Jesus responds, "Go back home, your son will live." Maybe the official stopped for a moment and thought, is that enough? Is that it? Or maybe in faith he believed that when the word of God was spoken, when Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. And Jesus' miracle was not just a display of power, it was a response to this man's desperate need. Jesus didn't rebuke the man for his desperation. He responded with compassion. And when we encounter people who have desperate need, when we encounter people who need a touch from Jesus on their life, we too must respond with compassion. Psalm 103, verse 13, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." The word fear that's here, a better translation perhaps, is reverent awe. God is able to do absolutely anything. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. And we're not meant to ignore him. We're not meant to keep him in a box that we only drag out when we've got a problem in our lives. We're meant to have reverent awe for our Lord and our Saviour. And God moves. In his compassion, he moves. The royal official that we read about here in John chapter 4, he wasn't a Jew, yet Jesus extended compassion and healing to him. This shows us that Christ's compassion, it crosses boundaries, cultural, religious, social. In the original Greek, the word for compassion, optimus, it denotes a deep sense of mercy. And our God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. When we pray for miracles in our lives, miracles in the lives of others, we need to remember that Jesus responds not just out of power, but out of compassion, mercy, and love. His compassion drives his action. When we approach Jesus with our needs, we need to know that he cares deeply and he will respond in love. We also need to understand that every prayer that we pray has three possible answers. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, we're happy with. No, it upsets us, but we know God's will is God's will. But it's when God says wait, that's when we struggle the most. God takes us through certain situations and circumstances in our lives, and there's a reason for it. A reason that we may not understand until we step into eternity ourselves. But God cares, and we should never think that he has abandoned us. Indeed, Jesus has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. Elsewhere it says his grace is sufficient for us. And that's in every circumstance, every situation. Not just on the good days, not just on the days when perhaps you're going to work and you find a parking space, or you come here to church and you try and find a parking space that doesn't require you hiking half a mile. Whether there's a parking space outside the church or it's up the road, God still loves you. God's compassion. His compassion is love, mercy and grace. Second miracle we're going to look at, Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus really is a compassionate teacher. In John 3, there's this famous conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, a Pharisee who secretly comes to Jesus at night seeking truth. In John 3:3, Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus, his interaction with Nicodemus, it wasn't just about imparting knowledge. It was about compassionately telling him the truth. Maybe he struggled to understand. And indeed he said, well, how? I can't go back into my mother's womb. But this is about a spiritual rebirth. This is about a spiritual change of direction. When we come to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we are no longer who we were. We're made new in Christ. Changed, transformed, as if we've been born again. Our old lives are gone. Sadly, there are many that come to Jesus but still stare back at their old life, looking at what was there and what they enjoyed and what was good, and completely ignore the fact that in Christ is the best, goodest experience we can ever have. He died to set us free. He died to save us from ourselves. He died to make us new. He was compassionate in what he did. Now Nicodemus, he was a man of status. He was a man of education. And Jesus did not dismiss him. He teaches, he instructs this man with care and with concern. He's not just dispensing information. He's speaking truth. And like Nicodemus, there are moments when we seek answers in the night. There are times where we experience doubt or confusion. There are times when our only option is to allow Jesus to meet with us in compassion and allow him to guide us into truth. And just like Nicodemus, as we grow in understanding, we need to tell others. What has been explained to us, we need to share. There are many in this world today that are seeking answers. There are many who are seeking guidance. And we need to respond with patience and love. Sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, some of you in this room, you're really easy to love. Some of you don't ever rub anyone up the wrong way. And others, I'm not saying I'd cross the road to avoid you, but often the biggest damage to the mission of Christ, the biggest damage to the truth of the gospel is Christians. Before I came to know the Lord, there were many Christians that I encountered over the years that theoretically should have put me off ever walking across the threshold of a church. They seemed to be so holy. They seemed to be so perfect. They seemed to be people who had a hotline directly to God and always knew what God was saying and what God was doing. And actually, they were very pharisaical and self-righteous. And it put me off church. And then one day, someone invited me to church, and I got really angry with the person who invited me, because as the minister was standing in the pulpit and speaking, I thought the person who had invited me to church had told the minister everything about me. And hours later, I realised it was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. But how many people are we barriers to? How many people look at us and think, well, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want to know. Friends, we need to be compassionate. We need to be gentle. We need to show the love of God and show his compassion. Third miracle, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. In Luke 8:42-48, we encounter a woman who's been suffering from bleeding for 12 years. She'd exhausted all of her options, all of her resources, doctors who couldn't heal her, and in desperation, she comes to this point where she reaches out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now, theoretically, if Jesus had followed the cleanliness laws, if she'd have followed the cleanliness laws that existed at the time, the very touch of the woman, even upon his garment, would have made him ritually unclean. Yet instead of getting angry, he says, your faith has made you well. God doesn't reject us when we turn to him. When we come to him in desperation. When we come to him knowing that he is the only way. He won't reject us. He won't reject us. Consider Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd may survive for a while, but they need a shepherd to provide for them, to care for them, to lead them, to clean them, to feed them. Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the one who sustains us every single day. God, by the power of his word, God, through his love, his mercy, his compassion, sustains us every single day. And Jesus is one who has a heart that is moved with compassion. When we are helpless, he is the one who helps. When we need a breakthrough in our lives, he is the one that works a miracle in us and through us. this woman, her touch was simply an act of faith. An act of faith born out of desperation, and Jesus could have ignored her touch. But his compassion caused him to stop and to ask, who was it that touched me? And then look directly at her and address her need. He healed. And the word that's used here is not just the word that means physical healing. The word that's used here refers to wholeness, body, mind, spirit. All were healed as she touched him. This is a woman who would have faced rejection. This is a woman who would not have been able to worship at the temple. This is a woman who would have been an outcast of society because of her condition. I mean, maybe there were degrees. If you looked at a leper, you would know that a leper was a leper. But this woman had a reputation for being unclean. People would have rejected her, crossed the road to get away from her. Yet Jesus sees her brokenness and welcomes her. And you know, friends, Jesus invites us to reach out to him. He invites us to touch the hem of his garment in faith. If we're honest, we're all broken in some way. We're all damaged. Yet Jesus cares and he calls us to him. No matter how hopeless we feel, Jesus responds with compassion and with healing. Fourth point, the compassionate deliverer, healing the demon-possessed man. In Luke 8:26-39, Jesus encounters a man who is tormented by demons. He's living amongst the tombs, he's isolated, he's in anguish, and Jesus commands the demons to leave him. And in Luke 8:39, he tells the man, now go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. Do you see what Jesus does here? He doesn't just deliver the man, but he restores him to his community. This is a profound act of compassion. For this man to return to where he lived, to return to those who had loved him, and perhaps had even rejected him because of what was going on in his life, Jesus tells him to go back and tell others about what Jesus has done in his life. Has Jesus ever told you to reconnect with someone that you knew in your childhood or in your adulthood, to tell them what Jesus has done for you? I mean, we've all got a testimony. If tonight you are here and you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you know what life was like before you came to him. You know what life was like before he saved you. Have you ever decided to share that with some of the people that you know? I went through an exercise a few years ago to try and contact some of the guys that I went to school with. It was difficult. I did some research and I found out that the majority of people that I went to school with were either in prison for selling drugs or dead from drugs. And there were only three people that I could find that were still breathing, that I could witness to, that I could share something of the truth with. And I'm still praying that at some stage, God will use the seeds that I managed to sow into those people's lives and that I'll see them in glory one day. Is there someone that you need to be compassionate towards? Is there someone that you need to share the truth of the gospel with? Psalm 34:17, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the strength of the Lord. We need to call out to him. We need to trust him. And we need to know that he is listening, even when it seems like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. God is a deliverer. He will respond when we cry out. And just as he delivered this demon-possessed man, that wasn't just about casting out the demons. That was about restoring the man's dignity, the man's integrity. This man was saved by what Jesus did. And we all know people who need to be saved, don't we? Our neighbours, our colleagues, our friends, people within our own family. There are people who are trapped in a life that they shouldn't be trapped in, just like this demon-possessed man. And yet Jesus is able, Jesus is compassionate, and he is ready to bring freedom and restoration to those that will call out to him. Let's have the faith to call out. Let's have the faith to stand in the gap. Let's have the faith to ask God to pour out his compassion on those that we know, that they may know Jesus for themselves as Lord and as Saviour. Fifth point, final point, the compassion of Christ in the crucifixion. Jesus' compassion wasn't just limited to the miracles he performed during his life. It extends to the act of ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The cross is the ultimate display of God's love, God's compassion, God's mercy. I've met people over the years who say, oh, I'm too bad to come to Jesus. I've got too much wrong in my life. And I've also met other people who say, well, there's nothing wrong with my life, and I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. The Apostle Paul says there's no one righteous, not even one. Without Christ, without a relationship with Christ, there is no way for us to get into heaven. Christ paid the ultimate price. He died to set us free. He bore the punishment that we should have carried. And when we trust in him, his righteousness is counted to us. We are saved because of what he has done. Out of the mercy, the love, the grace of God, from eternity he planned, Father God planned to send his son so that all who would believe will not perish, but have eternal life. And in Jesus' death on the cross, we see the culmination of his compassion. He didn't just heal bodies. He didn't just deliver from demons. He gave his life to save us from sin and eternal death and destruction. He died to save us from eternal separation. If he is able to restore our relationship with God, how much more is he able to reach down and touch us and heal us and make us whole? The Greek word used there is agape. It's a self-sacrificial, unconditional love that seeks the highest good for the benefit of another. And the cross is where compassion meets action in its most powerful form. Christ's sacrifice was for each and everyone who would believe. Each and everyone. It was sufficient for all who will believe, for all who will reach out, for all who will ask him into their lives. Jesus had the same love for every single one of us. We shouldn't reject that love, should we? And actually, one of the ways that we show that we're not rejecting his love, being compassionate for others, praying for others, wrestling with God until God answers. In conclusion, throughout his ministry, Jesus was moved with compassion. He healed, he taught, he delivered, and ultimately he sacrificed himself for us. His miracles that happened then can still happen today. He can demonstrate his power. He can move and lives can change. Why? Because he still loves us. He still cares for us. As we reflect on these miracles, let's be inspired to live lives that are marked by compassion. Let's live lives that inspire us to actually reach out to Jesus, symbolically touching the hem of his garment. And let's be a people who are willing to love others. We're called to be his hands and his feet in this world. And there are many right now that need a desperate touch. They need one touch from the King that will change everything. As we come to our time for healing and wholeness, let's commit to be a people who are moved by compassion. You don't have to just rely upon me as a minister to pray for you. We can pray for one another. I believe firmly in something that's termed whole or full body ministry. We are all his children. We can all pray for one another. We can all stand in the gap for someone that we know. And whether it's through prayer, whether it's through service, whether it's through love, we can reach out to someone in need tonight and ask God to move, ask God to act, ask God to bring a miracle. And friend, if you need a miracle tonight, trust that God can, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus sees your need. Jesus loves you. God the Father loves you. Trust him to move in power. Let me just pray a general prayer. Father God, I thank you that you love us, that you care for us, and that you were willing to send your son to bear the penalty for our sin. And I thank you that at the cross, Lord Jesus, you purchased not only our salvation, but our healing as well. And you know exactly what's going on in each and every one of our lives right now. and the lives of those that we love and know. And it's our prayer corporately, Lord, that you will move, that you will move in compassion, that you will move in power, that you will move in love. For those who are feeling broken, Lord, I pray that they would be made whole in you, that you would restore them, Lord, that they may walk with joy, knowing that you are with them. For those who are recovering from operations, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, give them peace and patience as they wait, Lord, for restoration to come. For those who are facing difficult circumstances at work or at home, I ask, Lord, that you will break through, that you, Lord, through your love, your compassion and your mercy, will change the atmosphere, and that every house, Lord, will truly be a house of joy, rejoicing in what you have done and what you continue to do. Examine us, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our situations. You know our circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that you see into the very core of our being. And thank you, Lord, that even though you look and you see perhaps the filth, Lord, that is there, the damage that is there, you still love us and you love us all the same. Thank you for your love, your mercy and your grace. Praise you for who you are. And thank you, Lord, for the healing and the restoration that you will bring into lives and circumstances and situations. Yesterday, today and forever, you are the same. And I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your love. Bless us, Lord. Help us to just surrender our lives to you and to trust you in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.